Daily Calgary Flames Roundtable, brought to you by Mercedes-Benz Country Hills. Right now, don't pay until spring 2021 on the Mercedes-Benz C300 4MATIC sedan. Mercedes-Benz Country Hills, minutes from the Calgary airport.
Welcome back to the program. We are less than a month away from the beginning of the World Junior Hockey Championship in Edmonton, Alberta. Dr. Dina Hinshaw speaking today says, as of right now, no plans have been made to change that event or alter anything, but conversations ongoing with the IIHF, Hockey Canada, and of course, the health professionals in this province when it comes to protocols and everything around COVID-19. But they are going to use the same bubble approach the NHL did at the JW Marriott and Rogers Place in downtown Edmonton. So if they can get into the bubble safely, they should have some great success. But that is the latest when it comes to the World Juniors in our province. Speaking of which, and the latest, before we get to the roundtable, wanted to pass it along. It happened about 10 minutes ago. Alexis Lafreniere will not be loaned to Team Canada from the New York Rangers. That decision was just made official today. Darren Dreger of TSN had the report a little earlier on today, but now it's made official. Alexis Lafreniere will not be at Edmonton, Alberta, for the holiday season to play for Team Canada. Welcome back to the program. It is the Flames Roundtable. Will Nault, Peter Klein, and Logan Gordon around this virtual roundtable today. And boys, we've been doing our off-season scouting on the opposition because it looks like the All-Canadian Division is the most likely path for the NHL next season. So we continue our scouting of the competition today. Yesterday, we did the Winnipeg Jets. Of course, it all began Monday with Vancouver. Tuesday, it was Edmonton. We started west, and we're moving east. And today, we're focusing in on the nation's capital. The Ottawa Senators are the discussion today on the roundtable. And then lots of conversations about how good this Ottawa offseason has been. What would you give Pierre Dorion and company as a letter grade for their work this offseason, Logan?
I think I'd give them an A, I think would be a reasonable one for them. I think that they went out and improved their team and gave their young players some complimentary pieces around them. They found a new number one in goal. We can have the discussion whether or not Matt Murray is deserving of that big of a contract, but he's won a Stanley Cup. He's been around in the NHL, and he's somebody that can provide them minutes going forward, which they're going to need after Craig Anderson when the organization parted ways. And I still think the future is really bright for them. They had some top picks that are going to hopefully come into the organization in the next few years. They still have, three second-round draft picks scheduled for next season to go along with their first-rounder. Even though, PK, they didn't move into contender status, you and me had the conversation even yesterday about not being okay with mediocrity and not, just setting the bar low for yourself year after year. And I think the organization took a good step in that direction this year that, yeah, look, we understand we're not Stanley Cup contenders, but that doesn't mean we're going to take it in the teeth night after night. We're going to go out and get Dadonov. We'll take a shot on an Alex Galchenyuk who's still 26, and we'll give Brady Tkachuk and Thomas Chabot some players around them, and we're going to start building this thing in the right direction. I really like what they've done.
No, I have too. To me, the grade is a B+. The reason it's a step lower than Logan's is the Matt Murray contract. I don't mind going out and acquiring a Matt Murray, but $6.25 million is just a touch rich for my blood for a goalie who has been in a bit of a decline the last couple of seasons. I understand they have the salary cap space to make it work right now, but as we've discussed time and again, that's never a good enough reason to hand out contracts that are a bit of an overpay in my estimation. So the contract for Matt Murray is one of the only downsides really to this offseason. To Logan's point, I love the Dadonov contract. I like a lot of what they have done this offseason. Are they a playoff team? No, but well, I think this team is ready to take at least a bit of a step forward next year based on the work that Pierre Dorion has done in this offseason.
Sorry, are you in the A camp too then? Sorry, Pete, I must have missed that.
B plus.
Okay. Yeah. So just slightly below. I think I'd probably be in the A- category for Pierre Dorion. I don't necessarily agree that Matt Murray's the goaltender of the future for Ottawa. It's a very, very steep price to pay, but they're obviously in a spot where they can afford that at this time. And I do think that despite the cap staying flat for probably the next three, four seasons, I don't know if 6.25 is one that's really going to kill you. If it was up around 8, then that's a different story. But still, I don't know if that's going to be the answer in goal. I think his numbers and the way his game has trended in Pittsburgh the last couple of seasons is concerning, not to mention the fact that he has had troubles staying healthy at times. But I just think overall they've done a really nice job to bring in some guys here that are going to be able to fit in with the young core that you're building around, and you're needing to buy time here, but you also want to continue taking steps in terms of that competitive window, because you don't want to be bad the entire time you're building around these young players, because you're teaching them some really bad habits. And not to take pot shots, but I think we saw some of that in Edmonton for a long, long time, is that was just so ingrained in the culture. It's hard to dig yourself out. So kudos to Ottawa and Pierre Dorion for trying to, again, as you say, Pete, they're not going to be a playoff team, but just to try and be a little bit more competitive, I give them credit. Eric Gudbranson is certainly not a guy that has got the fastest feet in the world, but I think he's a serviceable NHL defenseman. Is going to help them on the back end. I love picking up Dadonov for 3 years at $5 million. A guy's going to give you some offense. And, Alex Galchenyuk is one of those guys that is a bit of a reclamation project. I don't know how it's going to work, but they've got some pieces there now where you start to get excited. And again, next summer is a big one for Dorion and company, with, essentially a lot of that core group up and due for new contracts, including Brady Tkachuk, Logan Brown, Drake Batherson. All those guys are due for contracts next offseason, not to mention Erik Brännström, who's not that far away from needing a new deal, and that next big piece that was a part of the, trades with Vegas. So, I think Pierre Dorion, for all the heat he took early on, I think he's done a really nice job to show that he is capable of doing this job successfully. And it doesn't hurt when you've got 4 picks in the first 2 rounds at the 2021 draft, when you continue to build. And as I say, I think 2021 is a bigger offseason for Ottawa. Okay, well, I think we are all on the same page. This conversation, part of it might not last as long, but where's your trust level on Matt Murray, Mr. Klein?
Pretty low, not overly high. I think that he can be fine, but that's the extent. Like I don't see him getting. I don't see Ottawa getting $6.25 million of value out of Matt Murray at any point in this contract. Save percentage taking a dip under 9 last season. Obviously injury problems there, and that's another aspect of the Matt Murray ride that you're going to be on, is how healthy can he be when he's at his best. We've seen he can be very, very good, but we haven't seen him at his best in 3 seasons now, and I worry that those days are now behind him. So that is, if the Ottawa Senators were hoping to be a playoff contending team, you obviously have a bigger concern about it. You don't want your goalie costing you games when you have a young team. And I don't know if Murray is going to be a hindrance, but Logo, that is not the wagon that I'm comfortable hitching myself to right now.
I'm okay with it. I'm not in love with the deal, but I don't think I'm as far off it as Pete is, just because the guy is 26. He's got playoff experience. I think you can look and see if he's healthy and perhaps in a new organization, a chance to get a fresh start as the number one guy in Ottawa, and kind of away from some of the tandem stuff he had to deal with in Pittsburgh. I think it might get him back on track. I don't know that he's ever going to be a Vezina caliber goaltender, but at the same time, if he can be your sturdy number one for the next couple of years, which might not be the greatest of years, success wise for the team, but he gives them a steady presence back there and isn't bleeding chances every time, and perhaps just gives Ottawa a chance to win every night, then I think you're okay potentially overpaying what his market value might have been to bring him in and secure him for a couple of years. So I think at 26, I'm not necessarily as worried about it, and I think that Ottawa is in a good enough position, Will, that they can take that chance and hope that Murray, with a fresh start and all the stuff that I mentioned, turns into their solid number one for the next little while.
Unfortunately for the Sens, they're not as good of a team as Pittsburgh was, so I think Matt Murray is going to have to make up for some more holes than he would have in Pittsburgh. Not to say that he's not a great goaltender. I think he's fine, but I just think the last season is really concerning for me before the shutdown. His save percentage is below 900. He had clearly lost the starting job. And I just think it feels like the Stanley Cup years are so far in the rearview mirror that you wonder, you know, what's he going to do to bounce back? And as I say, he's going to a worse team, at least to begin with. So I don't love the contract. Again, it's not 7-8 years, so it's not going to kill you. It's only 4 seasons, and you're not paying, you know, more than $7 million. But yeah, I'm not in love with it. But I think certainly of the three of us, the trust level might be the lowest with Klein. But I'm not in love with it by any means when it comes to Ottawa and finding that number one goaltender. Away from that logo, who's been the biggest pickup, or who do you like in terms of a guy that Ottawa's brought in? Who's going to work out the best for them?
I think Dadonov is the easy choice here. I think that he can automatically slide into a top six role with Ottawa, first power play kind of guy that is going to ease some of the scoring worries for the younger guys, and is going to probably help Ottawa with some, you know, what might be frustrating times when you're not scoring and you're not able to win. He might be the difference there. It looks like he's a pretty consistent, right close to 30 goal type of guy year in, year out, and a similar output for assists as well. So if you're talking about a guy that puts up 60 points a year, is able to play and help out with some of your younger guys, I think 3 years at $5 million each for Dadonov is a great move. And I think it also what it says about the organization going out and getting a guy like that, when I don't think any of us would have blamed them or been surprised had they not gotten him, Klein. I think it says more about the team and the organization that they're wanting to win and set a standard of having good players and surrounding their young core with good players. That, to me, is the biggest thing that goes along with that Dadonov signing.
Yeah, that was one of the ones where, from a Flames perspective, it's, oh, boy, at $5 million, you kind of wish they could have made that one work. So I think that is the best one. I'll just to throw out another one. I like the Galchenyuk signing. I know that he has yet to really find that level that I think a lot of people thought he was going to get to. But these are the types of contracts you hand out when you get absolutely super kicked all year last year. When you're still an up-and-coming team, 1 year at $1.05 million for a guy who at one time was thought of very highly. Those are the types of lottery tickets that you play on when you are one of these teams. And worst case scenario, it's $1 million gone. Surely Eugene Melnyk has done that before. I don't know if he's going to turn into a cornerstone of the franchise, but maybe he turns into a second or third round pick and whenever a trade deadline might be, or someone who sticks around for another couple of seasons and helps bridge a gap to some of your young forwards. So Dadonov is, I think, the clear choice there, but I like the idea that they were going with for Galchenyuk.
Dang it, Klein, that's where I was going to go, man. Come on, you're killing me. I think those are the ones that really jump out. And I think, again, just the low risk on the Galchenyuk front. And if it works out, you can always bring him back. I think that's a great low risk signing. I'm not, you know, confident that he's going to be able to bounce back and get to some of those, you know, high 20, mid 20 goal type seasons he had in Montreal early in his career. But I do think he's going to be a guy that can find a nice home when Ottawa's middle six. And that's kind of what they need, is guys like that to step in and play a little bit above their head, and maybe they can get that on a low risk 1 year deal for Galchenyuk, and you're going to get a very motivated player, I would think, coming in, which is a huge, huge positive. Will Nault, Peter Klein, Logan Gordon around this virtual roundtable today. We're focusing in on the potential opponents for the Calgary Flames in this 2020-21 shortened NHL season, as we all likely believe it'll be an all Canadian division. Just last on the Sens and on last kind of topic on today's roundtable, Logo, what kind of scenario has to happen, or what do you think in terms of a craziness or what wild idea would have to exist where the Sens don't finish last in the Canadian division? Is there a potential for that to happen in your eyes?
Yeah, I think there's a potential for it. I like some of the young pieces they have. I think Brady Tkachuk continues to give them value day in, day out. Thomas Chabot, at that contract, and you know, he's finally getting paid $8 million per season for the next little while. But I think there's a true number one defenseman. You brought up Branstrom. If some of these young guys come up and take a big step for this team, and I think the biggest conversation here for them to potentially slide out of the last spot in the Canadian division would have to be on the guy that we all, you know, talked about not having the most confidence in, and that's Matt Murray. If he can be a true number one for this team and give them above average goaltending, then I think they can do that. I who didn't hate the signing, don't see that as a very likely outcome, PK, but for me, that's how they would get out of the bottom spot in a Canadian division.
Yeah, I think a couple of things would have to happen. They would have to get best case scenario from basically everyone, and you're going to have a team fall off. Like, I do think that while, again, I like a lot of what Ottawa has done, I still think there's a pretty significant gap between them and the other six teams in this division. So you would need, like, again, you would need everyone to play exactly how they're supposed to for however long the season would go, and like Connor Hellebuck to get hurt in Winnipeg, or Brayden Holtby to fall off of a cliff in Vancouver and have a couple of other things happen there, or here in Calgary, Valimaki, Hanifin, and Giordano all take steps back, or like just you would have to have your best case scenario and a worst case scenario for another team for that to happen. A couple of years from now, if we're talking about a Canadian division, which we probably won't be, but a couple of years from now, this is a different story. But this is I just don't see this being the Sens' time, even to get to sixth.
The only thing I would say is I would usually agree with everything that both of you just said, but I will put this out there. It's 48 games. We talked about this in Major League Baseball with their 60-game schedule. Like, it's not crazy to think that someone gets hot or the Flames start slow or, you know, Vancouver can't get their ducks in a row. There's absolutely a potential for them to not finish seventh. If it's an 82-game season, I am in complete agreement with everything you just said, Pete. But because it's 48 games, if another team gets an injury or something happens, and yes, I think Ottawa would still have to have their guys play at a pretty high level, and Matt Murray would have to be lights out for most of the season, but 48 games is just over half the year. And you know, we were just 2 years removed from seeing the St. Louis Blues be dead last in the league over, you know, pretty much 48 games and then winning the Stanley Cup. So it's not crazy to suggest that there could be a potential where they finish in fifth or sixth. I don't see them being a playoff team, but I do think all the circumstances being out there, a 48-game season, I hate the cliche, anything can happen, but truly anything could happen here in 48 games, especially knowing how condensed it is too.
Mm-hmm. No, for sure. And like you said, we saw in Major League Baseball, like, I don't know how many people had the Miami Marlins penciled in to a playoff spot. And those types of things happen when you have a 60-game season like you had in baseball, or 48 games in the NHL potentially. But you also in baseball had the Pittsburgh Pirates winning 19 games. Like, anything can happen, but also reasonable things can happen as well. And I think that a lot of things have to play out. And for sure, the likelihood of them playing out in 48 games becomes a little bit greater because it's just a smaller sample size, and that's how that works. But you could also have a team that is just an absolute tire fire just as easily.
There you go. He's Peter Klein, Logan Gordon. I'm Will Nault. That was our look at the Ottawa Senators as we close in on a potential all-Canadian division in the NHL next season. That is the Daily Flames Roundtable.
Daily Calgary Flames Roundtable, brought to you by Mercedes-Benz Country Hills. Right now, don't pay until spring 2021 on the Mercedes-Benz C300 4MATIC sedan. Mercedes-Benz Country Hills, minutes from the Calgary airport.